The following program is part of the Inner Circle Podcasting Group. Go to innercirclecomics.com for more high-quality podcasts.
Nerds, it's time for another Two-Headed Nerd Answer of the Week podcast with Joe and Matt.
Do it.
Boom, bang, wham, it's the answer of the week. My name's Matt Baum, and one of the hosts of the Two-Headed Nerd comic book podcast. Sitting across from me is my heterosexual life mate, Joe Patrick.
Yeah.
Woo! He's one of the other hosts of the Two-Headed Nerd. You probably heard him before. This is the show where we let you guys take over. Every week, Joe posts a question of the week on the Two-Headed Nerd forums, and then you can call our Google Voice line at 402-819-4894 or send us an MP3 to twoheadednerd@gmail.com. You can also send a voice memo, which is an MP4. It works just as well. Using your phone, that is. Whatever. Basically, we ask the question, you answer it. Before we can get to it, I need to know what that damn question was.
This week's question came from Lord Steven, Master of Coin, who wants to know, what is your favorite story of a character being outed as a superhero, either choosing to do so willingly, like Spider-Man did in Civil War, or having it done without their consent, like the recent Superman storyline?
Let's get right into it.
I like it. I got two answers, and you're hearing both of them, whether you want to or not.
You big jerk. We have to set an example.
No, we don't.
Here's someone who pays attention to the rules. Danny from Council Bluffs. Take it away, Danny.
Hey guys, it's Danny, and I'm here to answer the question of the week. So when I heard that we were going to be talking about the people who have been outed from being a superhero and revealing their identity, it reminded me of when I told Joe that I was Danny at the comic store.
It's true.
You really hit close to home.
I thought he was going
to
admit that he was his sister, too.
On this one, Galahad and Nocturnus from Insufferable. I just really like the way how, like, in that one panel, it showed how Galahad was out partying and Nocturnus was living a humble life. And it was just cool to see the different contrasts. And I think Nocturnus was outed because they claimed that they knew Nocturnus was Galahad's dad. But it was just cool seeing them. And I really liked their contrasted personalities. And I just really liked them. Now, if we're talking about a movie aspect, I'd probably have to go with the ending of The Dark Knight Rises, because, I mean, you'd have to be kind of dumb to not realize that Batman was Bruce Wayne when you see Bruce Wayne's gone, and then Batman's gone. So, yeah, I guess that's another double answer. my sister...
Disqualified!
Just bragging about him following the rules.
Show. This is going to be out a week later, but thanks, guys. Bye.
Danny, it's okay.
I believe...
You're a minor, so we won't hold it against you.
It's illegal for us to hold it against you.
Yes.
But I'm bump. Anyway.
You'll understand that joke when you're older.
Hey-o! Galahad, I believe, did out Nocturnus. He said, yeah, it's this guy, and he's a loser, and he's, you know.
Well, whatever. He said, I'm Galahad, and it just, like, it's like if
he didn't tell the world that
it's like if Dick Grayson said, hey, guess what, everybody? I'm Robin.
Right.
And everyone went, wait a minute. Isn't your dad Bruce Wayne?
Yeah. But yeah, he was definitely outed by his son and it caused some real problems.
Caused a lot of problems.
Yeah. Good answer. Thank you, Danny. Comes from right here in Omaha.
Who could it be?
Joe and Matt, this is your old buddy, Dan Motorfinger out in the lovely state of Idaho. Long time listener, first time caller.
Hey!
Weighing in on the question of the week regarding being outed as a superhero, I wanted to bring up Green Lantern number 188 from 1985 when Jon Stewart was outed on TV as being Green Lantern. It was the first time I'd ever seen anything like that in my young little comic book reading career, which was probably less than 2 or 3 years in at that point. The idea of a superhero being outed like that blew my little mind, and I have always loved Jon Stewart. I know he's not the most popular Green Lantern ever, but I love him, and that story really, like I said, it blew my mind. It's completely amazing. Joe Stanton on the art, Steve Englehart, great stuff.
Love Joe Stanton.
I do too.
That's all from the great state of Idaho. This is your old buddy, Dan Motorfinger, out.
Welcome aboard, Dan.
Dan from Idaho. He moved.
Good answer. I love Jon Stewart. I would go as far as to say they wanted more culture in the JLA, if they will. They should have put Jon Stewart back in there instead of Hal Jordan. Let Hal go do whatever. Get Stewart running around in there. Stewart and Cyborg, a couple of brothers, laying down some justice. I like it.
I do like Jon Stewart.
I
yes.
love Jon Stewart, man. Thank you for your call, Dan. Welcome aboard, buddy. Now, we move on. Internet famous, Randy Andrews.
Greetings, Joe and Matt. This is Randy Andrews emailing in for the question of the week. I know I'm late this week, guys, but I think this question is a lot of fun. My favorite story,
not a good
character being outed as a superhero, would be with The Flash. Now, this is the Barry Allen Flash with the New 52. I think it was quite interesting when his identity was revealed to his girlfriend, who at the time was the journalist, Peggy. I think it was a really unique way of bringing it out, and it also got her to realize that she was hating on The Flash, even though she found out that The Flash was really Barry Allen. Things changed. Things looked up for him. And yet now, things aren't so great. But that's the answer this week, guys. Hope you enjoyed it. My music this week is from Age of Ultron, and it's called Heroes. And check out my soundtrack blog at soundtrackalley.net. And soon to be, yes, soon to be, the Soundtrack Alley Podcast.
Hey! Hope you don't get sued.
See you in a week.
Do yourself a favor, don't make any money on it, because otherwise, they got a case against you, buddy. Okay. Joe and I are both making a funny
I don't
case.
Know what he's talking about.
I don't either.
Because if he's talking about Barry's girlfriend up until recently, her name is Patty, and she's right. a police officer.
Okay.
She works with the police.
Yeah. I know. I didn't read a lot of the New 52 Flash stuff, but I don't know either.
Iris is the journalist.
Right.
And in the New 52, I don't believe they've ever been together.
Wasn't that the Francis Manapul story where Iris figured out that Barry was the Flash? Is that what he's talking about?
I don't actually recall. I don't remember Iris learning the identity. But to be fair, I kind of dropped in and out of that book, so
yeah.
I'm not 100% on that. Randy?
Color us confused.
We learned something today.
Thank you, Randy.
If you are even accurate at all. Yeah, Patty Spivot was his girlfriend until recently, and she was a forensic scientist. She worked with Barry in the police lab.
She'd never date in the workplace. Terrible idea.
Yeah, don't.
Man, I slept with some coworkers. That came back to bite me in the butt, literally. I have bite marks. Let's go up to Maine, the wilds of Maine. Let's see what the orca's doing.
Good day, Mrs. Patrick and Baum. This here's the orca.
Nice use of misters.
Summer has finally arrived here in Maine, and I couldn't be more excited. See, summer is really the only time we Mainers get to mingle with attractive females. Because all the Flatlanders come up from Boston and New York City and whatnot to eat our seafood and see our lighthouses and get a taste of the way life should be. We, in turn, jack up the price of lobster, convince them that oysters are a delicacy and are a lunger from the waitstaff, and break in any daughter over the age of 16.
Hey-o!
Also, impotence runs heavy amongst the city folk due to their high-stress jobs and shitty suburban lifestyles. So we get to spend a little quality time with numerous wives that haven't seen a good boner since their last visit. Tis a common misconception that those at-home wives keep those tight little bodies all yogurt up for their husbands. But really, it's for us flannel-wearing, mud-hole-stomping ruffians up here in God's country. I hope your summer goes as well as mine, but I doubt it.
It's like Zardoz up there, apparently.
My favorite reveal or outing is perhaps a bit out of the box. It's in the Dark Knight movie, when Harvey Dent reveals himself to be the Batman and gets himself arrested for it. What a great twist. And it was so brave and noble. Mr. Aaron Eckhart was so underappreciated in that role. With his perfectly coiffed sandy blonde hair and his sturdy frame, he had those deep dreamy eyes and those lean yet strong arms that would be so comforting if he were just to hold me as I drifted off to sleep.
Aww.
I'd bury my nose into his matted golden chest hairs and... I'm sorry. I don't know where all that came from. I just got carried away. I swear, I've never had those feelings before. I think this is probably surprising me more than it is you.
He's having a moment.
Huh. Is D'Orca bisexual?
Could be.
I feel such a strange relief in saying that out loud. I'll be damned. Could all my joking about gafers and fudge packers be some type of protectionary defensive behavior subconsciously designed to hide my own emotions from myself? If you boys will excuse me, I have some self-exploration to do. I guess perhaps the best outing could be me to myself.
Hey, that's weird. Meta.
I guess that explains my kiss-kiss sign-off. This kind of went sideways on us, didn't it? Well, kiss-kiss with tongue, boys.
The Orca?
Wow.
Outs himself. In a surprising turn of events, outs himself. We weren't necessarily talking about that kind of outing, but... I'm okay with it.
It just goes to show you that you really don't know people until you know them.
We learn together on the internet in front of everyone. And I think it's great. Thank you for your call, The Orca. I think it's great you learned a little something about yourself, too. I did really like when Harvey Dent stepped up and was like, I'm Batman. It's me. Even though, like, it was impossible. And there's no way. And they'd be like, okay, Harv, prove it. Like, someone throw a shotgun at him. Let's see him take it apart in 2 seconds. You know? It was a cool part, though.
He is dreamy, though.
Are you kidding me? That man's gorgeous. Tim Benson. This guy, he came from Joe and I's past. He used to come to the comic shop we used to work at. We always liked him. Super nice guy. He's had an internet renaissance recently.
Listen, Tim is discovering the joys of Twitter and podcasts and Image Comics for the first time ever. It's
welcome
really
to
adorable.
Social media, sir. Yeah. It's good to have you.
Welcome to the late 20th century.
My favorite outing of a superhero is the ultimate sibling sacrifice. As one brother gives up his secret identity to protect the others, eventually he pays the ultimate price to protect those secrets. This sacrifice is also disappointing in that the surviving brother reveals his secret identity to practically everyone over the years. First, Spider-Man makes the idiot mistake of putting it in a letter. Then Black Panther, who likely knows everyone's secret, followed by every single girl he meets. He tells them all. Ben Urich, of course, knows, and over the years the press has outed him at least 3 times. And his most formidable foe finds out, and of course he tells everyone. It's now, of course, public knowledge. The character I'm referring to is Mike Murdock, the twin brother, who in Daredevil 25 reveals himself to be the devil of Hell's Kitchen in order to protect his brother Matt. He pays the ultimate price in Daredevil 41. Daredevil's history is full of people helping him keep his secret identity, and he just walks around telling everyone. Black Panther, Iron Fist, Spider-Man have all dressed up in Daredevil's costume to help him protect that secret. But Mike Murdock wins. Best outing of the character.
Mike Murdock. Tim Benson going deep. Wow.
Poor Mike Murdock.
Wow. Benson. Jesus.
I love it. Welcome aboard, Tim.
Welcome aboard.
Next time, identify yourself.
That was great. Yeah. Tell us your name so we don't have to do it. I mean, it's like, hey, guys, Tim here. Whatever.
The internet wants to know who you are and where you live.
That was a fantastic
your
answer,
phone number.
Though. I forgot that was even a thing.
The whole Mike Murdock thing was made up.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't have a twin brother.
I know. It was great, though. But I forgot that ever happened. It was so screwball. It was at that time where, literally everybody knew. Like, Daredevil's secret identity has been the worst secret in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
You can say that without any argument.
Oh yeah, for sure.
It's just,
and I love when they play with that. Where like in Wade's Daredevil, where he goes to the Christmas party with a sweatshirt that says "I'm not Daredevil" on it.
Yeah, it was great.
It's fun.
Thank you for your call, Tim. Good to hear from you, buddy. Let's go to Anthony in Brooklyn. I was just there. They kicked me out for being too old. I did not see.
Hello, Joe and Matt. Hello, listeners. It's Anthony from Brooklyn, and I submit for your approval Superman 423, written by Alan Moore, penciled by Kurt Swan, inked by George Perez, where Clark Kent is revealed on national television to be Superman by the Toy Man and the Prankster after they tortured Pete Ross to find out his secret. Crazy stuff. What results is one of the greatest Superman stories of all time, Whatever Happened to the Man of Tomorrow, which is an amazing two-part story. Read it if you haven't. And that's it. Thank you so much. I'm running off to do some fun July 4th activities, even though it's July 3rd. I like to party with two R's. Okay, bye.
Party.
I like to party. I like to boogie. Yeah, Whatever Happened to the Man of Tomorrow is wonderful. The sort of Superman story that you can only tell when this version of Superman is going away forever afterwards.
But he's talking about the issue before it.
Well, it's a two-part story.
Yeah, yeah. And man, that was a great story.
Yeah, a lot of terrible stuff happens in that story. The least of which is Superman's identity getting revealed.
Yeah, one of my favorite Lex Luthor stories, definitely. That was great. Good answer, Anthony. We can always count on you for a solid one.
Our final caller is Black Scorpion the Three, who did not get the memo that the deadline was yesterday at 5 p.m.
I wasn't going to say it to let these other jerks still think they play by the rules.
This came today while we were already recording.
Yeah, I saw it pop up and I was like, come on, dude.
It's all right. It's Black Scorpion.
You get one warning.
The Goocher.
One warning because of your Goocher. That's it.
Hello, nerds. Black Scorpion number three, with an answer on outing superheroes. Great question. When I read the question, I immediately thought about all those classic covers of Superman's girlfriend Lois Lane, where she would do things like expose Clark Kent to kryptonite to prove that he's Superman, or publicly declare Clark Kent is Superman. Just dangerous, dangerous stuff. Well, in 2003, Kurt Busiek wrote a story called Shining Armor in the Astro City line Local Heroes. And the story is a flashback story where a Lois Lane character is telling her daughter about her time in the 1960s with their version of Superman. And she's telling her about all the things that she did, basically exposing him to kryptonite, publicly outing him, and so forth. And Busiek, man, he's a brilliant writer because he's telling the reader from Lois's perspective about how irresponsible it all was and what was going on in her head at the time and so forth. Just wonderfully written. Can't recommend it highly enough. I should point out one other thing, though. I think when this week's question was formed, the question made a connection between outing sexual identities and outing superhero identities. When I revisited this issue, I realized something that probably wasn't a coincidence. The whole flashback story is Lois talking to her lesbian daughter about outing Atomicus. That's it. Happy Pride, everybody. And happy birthday, Matt, too. Great job on Seth Meyers. It was awesome. Sorry there was no Fred. Till next time, how about making mine Busiek again? Love that guy.
Hey. Thank you for the birthday wish. It was very sweet of you.
And who's Fred?
Fred Armisen.
Oh, yeah, Fred.
I didn't get Fred, but I did get Marnie Stern. I love Marnie Stern. And she is beautiful in person, wildly talented, and she has a voice like a little tiny cartoon character.
I don't know who Marnie is either.
She's a fantastic guitar player. She's leading
the
band.
Is she in
the
band?
Yeah. She's great. Love Marnie. Had a great time. Thank you very much. And that was a wonderful story.
Nobody wants to hear about your celebrity status.
I'm talking about Busiek. That was a wonderful, wonderful story.
Listen, you can always count on Astro City for being the best version of anything that you would want from an actual Big Two iconic character.
Kurt Busiek writes every single comic book character you've ever known better in the pages of Astro City than they've ever been written.
My favorite Superman story of all time is about the Samaritan.
Yeah.
So figure that out.
Yeah, go figure. All the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. All the best. Favorite caller, Joe Patrick. I've got mine.
I'm torn. I want to give it to Tim Benson, because his feeds into one of mine.
Okay, I'm giving it to Benson.
but I think I'm giving it to the Orca for his journey of self-reflection.
That was incredible. That was incredible.
I'm just so happy for him.
The only reason I'm giving it to Benson is because that Mike Murdock story was so ridiculous. Like, suddenly he's like, I have a twin. It's me, Mike Murdock.
And he's Daredevil, not me.
It's not me, it's Mikey, you know? Yeah. Like, oh, bad news, folks. Mikey's dead. You know? It's like such a WWF storyline, you know? Like, it's just so bad. I love it.
I also love that we heard from Dan.
That was great.
Motorfinger.
Our buddy Danny. We haven't heard from him for a while.
Best looking guy in the room.
He's a good looking guy. He's who was his answer was?
John Stewart.
John Stewart.
Right. Outing his identity.
And it was a great story.
As a Green Lantern.
Really liked that. Yeah.
You know, early to mid 80s Green Lantern books, they don't get enough credit.
No, they don't.
They were pretty good.
They were amazing. Like, yeah. Truly amazing. Arguably better than what we're getting now.
Arguably.
Arguably. Yes.
Thank you to everybody.
Let's
that
go
was
into
great.
It. Let's go into it. Joe Patrick.
All right, I got it.
You got two. Honestly, I'm really, really stuck. I'm having a lot of trouble with this one.
All right. I knew the answer the second I read the question from Lord Steven, who sadly was not able to answer because he is traveling and he doesn't have his computer. Not able to send in an answer.
Who doesn't travel with a computer?
Hey, somebody with other priorities, man.
Please. Says the guy that left his iPad on a plane.
Yeah. So just kind of spinning out of what Tim talked about with Daredevil, my very first Daredevil comic ever, and to this day, my favorite Daredevil comic that I've ever read is Daredevil 164, is the origin of Daredevil as retold by Frank Miller. I don't believe it was written by Frank Miller, though. It was written by Roger McKenzie, who was writing when Miller took over with art, and then Miller took over both duties. Regardless, Daredevil's in the hospital. He got beaten to a pulp by the Hulk because the previous issue, the Hulk lands in New York and no one is around to stop him. Everyone's gone.
Yeah, I remember this.
And Daredevil's like, well, I guess it's me.
Somebody has to do something.
And Daredevil gets his ass kicked, and so he's in traction in the hospital. It's ridiculous. He's laying there. He's got his cowl on over his shirtless body. So his cowl only comes down to his neck, and then he's bare-chested, covered in casts, and he's got the bandages, you know, like the old, and somebody's got a head injury, and they've just got the bandages wrapped around the outside of his mask.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
They didn't want to take his mask off.
I get it.
They didn't want out the guy.
I get it. But Ben Urich comes to visit him in the hospital, and he says, hey, I'm going to tell you this story, about this kid. It's obvious that Urich is describing Matt's life. He has discovered that Matt Murdock is Daredevil. And so Matt retells his origin for Ben Urich. And it's amazing. It is amazing and beautifully drawn by Frank Miller. It is my first exposure to both Daredevil and Ben Urich. And at the end of it, when Daredevil is finished with his story and Urich is finished taking his notes, he lights his notebook on fire and throws it in the trash book and walks off.
Yep.
And he says, when Daredevil is telling the story about how his dad refused to throw the fight that ultimately got him killed, his last words were, this one's for you, Matt. And then they kill him. And when Urich lights his notebook on fire and throws it in the trash and walks away, he says, this one's for you, Matt. And he leaves. And that's the end. I was like, mother, give me all the Daredevil comics right now. Yeah, I need all of the Daredevil comics now.
It was so good.
And I have been a lifelong fan of that character.
Yeah.
Both of those characters ever since.
Absolutely.
My favorite, though, my absolute favorite outing of a superhero story comes in the pages of Superman number 2, written and drawn by John Byrne in 1987. This is after the Crisis, so it's the post-Crisis relaunch of Superman. Superman is not even the main character of the story. Lex Luthor has tasked a woman, a computer scientist, with compiling data and discovering the identity of Superman. It's the 80s. We've got the technology. I've had it with this guy. Figure out who Superman is. You've got until the end of the week. This woman starts compiling data, and Luthor's goons are like going around just like completely disrupting the lives of people that are intimately connected with Superman, but they don't know how. The first thing that she discovers is that Lana Lang, now Superman number two, so this is not long after he outed himself as Superman, or rather he started operating as Superman, right?
Okay.
And so she was like obsessively following him around. And so they discovered this woman is at every single time Superman shows up to stop something huge, she's in the crowd. Like her computers suss it out.
Oh, okay.
And so,
and it's not Lois just being a bitch.
No, it's Lana Lang. It's Lana from Smallville.
Okay.
And so Luther's thugs kidnap Lana Lang and they torture her terribly. And she doesn't give up the identity. She doesn't give up any secrets, but they do find out that she's from Smallville and they find the Kent house.
Oh.
And they go to
I remember this.
And they they go to the Kent farmhouse and they knock out the Kents and they ransack the plates and they find a scrapbook where Ma Kent has this. The first half of the scrapbook is a mysterious guardian angel saves a capsizing boat. You know, it's right. All these like mystery miracles. Right. And then at the halfway point, it's like Superman saves falling space plane.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, this is something. And like, they take
it. Come on, Ma Kent. What are you thinking?
But it's nothing that says Clark Kent. It's just like this old lady's obsessed with Superman.
Sure.
And so they steal it and they go. They don't kill the Kents. They don't torture the Kents. But they trash the place and steal stuff. They take it all to the woman. Clark finds Lana and sees what they've done to her. And he's able to track them to this place, this old warehouse where they're hiding out, waiting for the heat to die down. And the second Superman shows up to make them pay for what they've done, Luthor explodes the warehouse, kills them.
Whew.
Yeah. And so like Superman is just like, well, what happened? So they put all of the stuff, she puts all the data into the computer. And it starts to do its thing, and it's this ridiculous 80s computer.
Clark Kent.
Right, and it spits out its dot matrix little thing that says, Clark Kent is Superman. And Lex Luthor, as it's starting to compute, he's smiling, and when it spits out the thing, and his smile just turns into this just fierce scowl, and he says, you're fired. Clean out your stuff and get out. You'll never work again. Because he cannot fathom the idea that a god would lower himself.
Oh.
In his mind, Superman's only mission is to rub it in humanity's face that he's better.
Right.
And to mock Luthor. Like, Superman's existence is an affront to Lex Luthor.
Because if Lex was Superman, he'd be Lord of the Earth.
Right. And Luthor just can't handle the idea that Superman would sully himself to pretend to be normal.
Yeah.
It's like, this is bullshit. Get out. John Byrne.
Man.
It's amazing. Superman number two, 1987.
That is awesome.
It's great.
That is totally awesome.
Yep. So Lex Luthor finds out Superman's identity almost immediately and just
won't believe it.
Discounts it.
I love it.
Yep.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
Read it, man.
It's way better than mine.
Post-crisis Superman books, amazing.
The only other hero in the Marvel Universe that I can think of that has had a worse time with their secret identity than Daredevil, Tony Stark.
Yeah.
Tony Stark has been outed as Iron Man probably 12 times, I think. And they've done everything from him saying, nah, it's my bodyguard. It's Jim Rhodes running around and it's not me, you know, they always had some fall guy or it was a robot or, whatever. He also outed himself a couple times and he went as far as to use supervillain technology at one point to make the whole world forget that he was Tony Stark because his loved ones were in trouble.
Yeah.
Like his loved ones were in trouble and he's like, oh man, I got a little too cocky. I shouldn't have done that or whatever.
Yeah.
But then right before Civil War, when Tony and Reed Richards were figuring out look, we've got to go public. We've got to become, government workers for our own protection, for other people's protection, because all this stuff's going bad. He came out and he said, look, I'm Iron Man. Came out, took the helmet off and said, we got to do this hero initiative thing. And it was a really, really well executed, very well done. And it was right about the same time that we got the first Iron Man movie with Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man. And the end of that film, as much as I liked the comic book you know, the comic book portrayal of him hosting the press conference, revealing himself and doing it to make America trust him and doing it with the best of intentions while you see Cap watching it. Like, no way, you know, like, no, we are not doing this. And it wasn't so much like learning that Tony Stark was Iron Man. It was seeing how Cap and Wolverine and Spidey, who were watching it at the same time, were just like, that. Like, no, we are not doing that. It was really, really well executed. And it fed right into the end of the Iron Man movie, where Robert Downey Jr., the very end, is having the press conference. He's trying to tell everyone he's not Iron Man. You know, it's not what you think. It's not like that at all. And he stops and he puts his hands in his side and he goes, you know what? I'm Iron Man. Just like, boom, movie ends. Yeah. I remember in the theater, like I was in, everybody went, yeah! I was just like, that was fucking awesome, man.
That was awesome.
It was the best. Because you know, like they had some big thing planned out where Robert Downey Jr. would get all dramatic and be like, I am the Iron Man. And he was like, no, 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 let's not do it like that. Tony wouldn't do that. Tony would just go, yeah, it's me. And that scene just will never leave me. That stayed with me forever. I loved that scene. And I loved the buildup to Civil War, the way they set it up. It was the last really believable time, in my opinion, where the heroes fought the heroes. It seemed like a really good reason. And I don't think they've had a real solid one since. They've been doing it for a long time.
Yeah, I'm tired of it.
Yeah, I'm kind of tired of it, too.
And just when I think they're going to be done with it and things are just going to be like, hey, the heroes are good guys and they're palling around. Look, they don't have to like each other, but can we at least just have
can we not shoot lasers at each other?
Can we have a grudging respect for between the Avengers and the X-Men?
Like, I don't even care if they make fun of each other. That's fine. Yeah. Just no disembowelment of each other, please. This is a fun question. Thank you so much for everybody that called in and played along. Really, really good answers. You guys dug deep, and I really liked everybody's answers.
Yeah.
Good. Some heady nerds we have on this show, man. I know some of you are still sitting out there. You haven't called in. You haven't sent us an MP3. You've been thinking about it, waiting for the right time. Just pull the trigger. Just pull the trigger. This is what we do here. We want to hear from you. More first-time callers, like Tim, like Dan. We want to hear from you guys. Hit us. Got my THN spokesperson, Alec Baldwin, is going to tell you how you can do so. I'm going to warn you, folks. He gets a little darker every week. The guy's just not happy at all about it. But, hey, he's doing the work and gets us the ratings. God bless him. We'll be back next weekend with another.
It's hard to say that he does a good job.
He gets the information
out
there.
But he does do a job.
He gets the information.
Yeah.
We'll be back next week with another Two-Headed Nerd comic book podcast. And, of course, another answer of the week. But first, I need Joe Patrick to tell you guys what the new question is.
This week's question is all about all new, all different Marvel. You've seen the catalog. You've been to Newsarama or wherever you go. What do you guys think of all new, all different Marvel so far? What's exciting about it? What's stupid about it? Are you mad that we're getting another relaunch? Let's talk it out.
Let's hear it. Share your feeling. Let's get into it. I don't want to just hear it like, oh, new Spider-Man looks awesome. Yeah, of course. Like, let's get into it. Let's dig into it. Let's feel it together. Yeah. But for now, this is the Two-Headed Nerd, signing off.
Hola. Me llamo Alec King Baldwin, and I'm ready to accept suicide as an option to get out of this job. If you'd like to answer the question of the week, you can leave Joe and Matt a message at 402-819-4894. Send your MP3 answer to twoheadednerd@gmail.com. Or leave a Skype message for the username twoheadednerd. Share the air and keep your answer under 2 minutes, please. But honestly, only the real losers are listening at this point. So, f*** it. Talk as long as you like. There is no need to